Podcast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast, and a little bit later we'll be joined by two guests who will talk about abductions, alien contact reports, and all that stuff. But right now, let's think about last week. And one of the things that interests me here is the way Leslie Kane approaches UFOs. She kind of keeps her opinions about what they are to herself, and she's trying to interest scientists and government officials. And her way of thinking, which makes a lot of sense, is if you run in there and say, we know that the government is hiding the truth about the alien visitation, they're going to turn her off. They're going to shut it down. They're going to close the door. She has to be politically correct. And that's, I guess, one of the problems that people might have had with the citizen hearing on disclosure, where Stephen Bassett is completely wild about saying, we know it's spaceships. We've got to get the government to tell us what they know, that our friends or enemies or whatever they are here.
Well, it's like, you know, the same thing that I experience here on the Paracast forum. You know, you try to be skeptical of the ETH, and people automatically lump you into that whole explanation. And, you know, you can state something in one response that you're not saying that it's aliens or ETs or alien spacecraft, and then a couple of posts later, they're saying that you believe that. And it's like, you know, some people, I either they have to take their fingers out of their ears or, I don't know, maybe clean them out or something. When it comes to Leslie, I really think that she's trying her best to maintain a sense of gravitas that will, I think, in the long run, attract more quality attention to the subject than leaping towards some sort of unfounded explanation. We don't know that these are ETs and aliens aboard spacecraft. We don't know that. There's no evidence to support that. And what little evidence is out there is barely circumstantial. So I think she's taking the right approach. It's the kind of approach I've been taking for years. And, you know, you just get lumped in with the crazy, jumping off into speculative ground. And I don't think that serves the subject well.
See, one of the problems we have here is that UFOs is equated with spaceships. No, UFOs stand for unidentified flying objects. If we knew there were spaceships, they wouldn't be UFOs. You know, say, for example, and I mentioned this in the forums, there was a race of aliens called the Xenoids. And the Xenoids are coming here from Zeta Reticuli or whatever. And we identify them. These are Xenoids. And so if they're flying around the Xenoids, it wouldn't be a UFO. It'd be a Xenoid scout ship or a Xenoid mothership. You get the distinction. Certainly Chris does. I hope our listeners understand that right now we've taken the position, myself, Chris, other people who've worked with the Paracast, most of them have taken the same position, is that UFOs are still UFOs. They could be spaceships. But until or unless that is proven, they stay as UFOs.
I couldn't have said it better.
Gee, I'm feeling so good, I should go home now. Wait a minute, I am home.
You know, I rest your case. Again, we don't have enough data. We don't have enough evidence to really, you know, definitively come up with some sort of explanation. And these things are unidentified. So let's keep it at that. I think one of the things that I have a problem with is, and we've talked about this, is the term UFO. It's got such baggage attached to it. I think the idea of coming up with a, you know, UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon, or AAO, anomalous aerial objects, I think we need to come up with a term that doesn't have the baggage attached to it like the term UFO does. And unfortunately, I think when skeptics and, you know, people that are possibly even debunkers, when they hear that term, their eyes glaze over. It's like flashing a cape at a bull. It just gives them a target to launch on. And quite frankly, I have spent years attempting to maintain a open-minded skepticism about what these objects are. And I think a lot of people are starting to really go in that direction in the field. And it's unfortunate that we're all lumped into this this knee-jerk assumption that we think that we're dealing with aliens and little green men. I'm tired of it. It's getting ridiculous at times, and until we really get data to support one explanation or another, I am still going to be in that place of factoring out all possible mundane explanations until proven extraordinary. And end of soapbox rant.
All right. We don't know what extraordinary means at this point. We just know we can't figure out what it is. The reason or logic that some people use to say UFOs are spaceships is a process of elimination. It's not a conventional aircraft. We don't think it's a test aircraft, and by the way, a lot are. It's not a conventional phenomenon of any sort. It's not seeing a planet or a star in unusual lighting condition. We can't figure it out what it is, but it seems to be solid. It seems to be intelligently controlled. We can photograph it. It leaves trace evidence. So we assume, therefore, that since we can't explain it, it must be E.T., that gulf, that wide gulf between something that's unexplained and trying to explain it without the evidence. Yes, some people claim to have been in contact with strange beings that they perceive or are told is E.T. And we'll be getting into that subject a little bit later as we explore alien abductions to find out what's going on. But that's not the proof. That's not the final proof. That people report weird things happening to them doesn't mean the things aren't real. It doesn't mean that there isn't some strange thing going on there. But we don't have the answer. If we had the answer, once again, it would be IFO. Chris, before we go to our guests, I think a lot of our listeners are wondering how you're doing with that new book, Stalking the Herd.
Well, it's a monumental task. I'm really kind of understanding why nobody has attempted to do this before. Linda Howe, you know, kind of took a stab at it back in the early 80s with her Alien Harvest book, but basically, that was just a rundown of newspaper stories and pure speculation on her part that these animals are being killed and disfigured by E.T.
There goes the E.T. assumption again.
Exactly. And I'm looking at this thing from all possible angles. The first part of the book is concerning humankind's relationship, domestication, relationship, and utilization of cattle back all the way possibly 11,000 years ago, and moving forward and looking at humankind's relationship with cattle and how this incestuous relationship, if you can almost call it that, how this may somehow be involved in the modern mystery of the unexplained livestock death phenomenon. And I'm really attempting to be as objective with the work as possible. It's an incredible amount of research and correlating of data and gathering up these reports from, you know, all sorts of different what I would consider reliable sources. And it's just a huge monumental task, but I'm making real good headway, real good progress with it. And it will be out, I'm hoping, the end of August, the beginning of September.
And we'll have a special episode then and there to cover Stalking the Herd, from our own Chris O'Brien. Speaking of new books, there's a fascinating book that came out recently from Kathleen Martin. You know her, of course, as the niece of Betty Hill and someone active in UFO and abduction research, and Denise Stoner. The book is called The Alien Abduction Files, The Most Startling Cases of Human-Alien Contact Ever Reported. Now, of course, we've all heard of the case of Barney and Betty Hill, so we're going to ask about their background, of course, in this kind of research and what they think are the most significant cases. I'm going to try and take it off dead center and see if we can figure out what's really going on with UFO abductions. Kathleen Martin and Denise Stoner joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You know, the people we work with the most aren't always the people we see every day. Coworkers work on the go, different offices, clients are spread across the country, around the globe. You know, to work efficiently today, you need to have a stronger connection to your team to build trust and stay focused and brainstorm. And as you know, here on my radio shows, we've got people around the world that we deal with. Well, with GoToMeeting by Citrix, your entire team is just a click away. You can share the same screen and collaborate in real time. Tell me about it, even on your iPad. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Steve Shank, founder of eFoods Direct. Right now, we have a huge number of Americans that are in serious trouble right smack dab in the middle of the Oklahoma disasters. I know that thousands of you, like us, are frustrated with not being able to help those who have lost so much and are in so much pain. We can't stand idly by. Food is the best way to help the victims and support the relief effort. We have a plan for any of you who would like to partner with us in providing food in this desperate time of need. We've built a 7-day emergency food package containing breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a whole week for one adult valued at $60. Your $25 will ship this life-saving supply directly to those in need. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. The food is contributed at considerably less than cost. Thank you.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Denise Stoner, first time on the Paracast, and the return of Kathleen Martin together. They've written a book called The Alien Abduction Files, the most startling cases of human-alien contact ever reported. And we'll get into those case histories after we get into their background, this field. And then, of course, we'll ask the questions that you listeners have posed in the question bank, which is part of our forums at forum.theparacast.com. Denise, I'm going to talk to you first because you're new to the show. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Denise, tell our listeners, before we get started in the nitty-gritty here, how you got involved in this field.
Well, I got involved because I've had experiences since age 2.5 that has conscious recall. And I had thought about it for a very long time, tried to figure out where all this came from. And when I was in my 20s and continued to have experiences and realized these were not nursery rhyme characters that came to visit me in real life, I started to look into it. I started to talk to other people. I began to read about how this was all handled, and then decided this is something I wanted to do. I wanted to help others.
Let's go back to your experiences. You were 2 years old when you had your first?
Two and a half.
What do you remember of that? How did it strike you? At what point in your life did you realize something really weird happened then?
Well, I was standing on a sofa looking out a window, and my mom was in the hospital giving birth to my sister. I just remember it clear as a bell, and maybe because my sister was being born, I was anticipating having a baby brother. That's what I wanted, and I got a sister, but...
I hope she doesn't object.
No. I was looking out the window, and there was a huge, huge egg-shaped object right outside the window. The telephone lines ran right across the front of it. It was shaped like an egg, bright, bright, bright yellow. It almost made you want to blink, and I thought it was Humpty Dumpty, because here I am, a little kid, and I'm trying to figure out what this is, and so that's what I came up with. And my grandfather and I were very close. He had cooked us dinner, and he came through to check on me. I was pretty good at entertaining myself, so he knew I was just looking out the window. He came through, and I said, "Why did they put Humpty Dumpty in the sky?" And I recall the look on his face of just sheer fear. I thought in my mind, why is Grandpa afraid? Why does he have that look on his face? So then I began to feel a little bit afraid. And he said, "Let's go up and get our bath." He closed the blinds and let's go to bed. He took me upstairs, gave me my bath, put me in bed, and he went back downstairs. He read me a story. And then I was lying there looking at my wallpaper that was full of nursery rhyme characters. And pretty soon this little character that I thought came out of the wallpaper, although I didn't see any others that looked like him, came to the side of my bed. He was hooded, but I could see his great big dark eyes. He was carrying what I thought might be a tool or a light because it had a light on the end of it. He took my hand, and I knew I was going to go with him and somehow indicated that I was. And we went out of my room down the hall, and he took me right through the wallpaper. And I ended up in a large craft that I now realize was a craft. And that happened many times.
Okay, many times. Now, at what point in your life did you realize this is something more than a fairy tale? And I need to add a second part of the question here. Any of your remembrances of what happened to you when you were very young come through direct memory or hypnotic regression?
All of that is memory.
Okay, so
conscious.
Okay, so you remember this. When is the next incident?
It's night after night after night, and I remember my sister being taken and missing from the crib and going to look for her, tiptoeing down the hall to look in my mom's room and knowing that she's not there, and then remembering my dad saying, "Boy, she's figured out how to get out of her crib," meaning my sister, and they put pieces of plywood, my dad putting them at the foot of the crib so she can't get out, and then seeing her floating across the top, so they took her anyway, and I'm thinking, "Boy, my dad doesn't know where she's going." I just didn't feel like I could tell them, "Oh, yeah, she's being floated over the top, so you can't keep her in there." I didn't talk about that. When I got older, my parents built a new home when I was in first grade, and it was just a Norman Rockwell-type New England town. Nobody locked their doors. Everybody knew everybody, and I found myself standing in a park with the bottoms of my pajamas soaking wet in the dew and the grass, and being chased by an entity, being chased after I had been taken and dropped off, but they were trying to coat me in some kind of liquid. I would be chased while he tried to drop this liquid on my shoulders, and I would run till I would get to my front door, go inside, go upstairs, and get into bed.
Just a fast question about this, Denise. Did your sister recall abductions?
She knows something happened, and she is still, to this day, so terrified. She will say, "I know they're there. I saw them. I've seen the crafts, and that's all I will talk about. I will not discuss this.
Pretty traumatic. This is Chris Denise. Welcome to the show. A couple quick questions. One, where in New England did you grow up?
I grew up in a little town just outside of Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay, so you're in Connecticut. And give us a time frame. When are we talking about approximately?
Well, I was born in 1948, and this was ongoing.
We're talking early 50s then.
Yes.
This is the head of the experience of Barney and Betty Hill. This is what, almost a decade
ahead. Quite a bit ahead of it. Yeah, this is pretty unusual, you know, Denise. We don't have that many quality reports or recollections from people prior to Kathleen's aunt's event, which is considered kind of the beginning of the modern phase of the abduction phenomenon. Have you encountered anyone else who's had experiences from that same time period that you began your experiences?
I think a lot of us had, and speaking of Betty and Barney Hill, I believe perhaps Kathleen can speak of it, but a lot perhaps of their family might have had things going on and didn't speak of it. My mom and dad had something happen to them. My dad has passed away with Lou Gehrig's disease, so he can't talk about it. Now, of course, my mom recalls something happening and has told me about it. Who knows how long and how many years before? We just don't know.
So are we seeing here, Denise and Kathleen, I'm sure we'll have something to say as we get to the next segment, are we seeing here the targeting of specific families when abductions happen? That some families see it happen maybe once in a lifetime, others, it's a constant presence.
Oh, are you asking me, Gene?
You can drop in the answer. We have 30 seconds before we break, but go ahead and lay an answer on us.
Are we seeing this in families? Yes. I think that Jim Harder, Dr. James Harder, established this years ago in his research on family connections to UFO abduction experiencers. So there does appear to be a family link.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into a lot more about UFO abductions, the family link, their experiences, but more important, trying to take these experiences apart and see what's going on. We have Kathleen Martin. We have Denise Stoner. The book is called The Alien Abduction Files. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show,
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show,
presented in part by GCN.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
As you see, Chris is bringing on his alien abductor voice. Chris, have you abducted anyone lately?
Nope, not quite. I've abducted quite a number of books from Amazon, though, to write my book.
Well, I'll tell you what, Amazon enjoys the profit. Just think how you're contributing to their low profits at Amazon.
Actually, I get mine used from the used booksellers, so I've gotten 15, 20 books for, $50, $60. It's pretty amazing.
Let's return to Denise Stoner and Kathleen Martin. Now, briefly, Denise, I could see with your background why you got interested in the study of UFOs. Kathleen, because of the family connection. But have you had any experiences yourself?
I had a couple of close encounters with UFOs when I was growing up, and this was during a period of time when my aunt was doing contact experiments under the direction of Robert Homan and C.D. Jackson, who were two of the first investigators who came in on their case. They met with Betty and Barney for the first time in November of 1961. And they were the ones who sat down with Betty and Barney and went through the actual time frame when their abduction occurred and determined at that point that Betty and Barney were missing a full 2 to 3 hours time on that trip. Betty and Barney before that knew that they had arrived home later than anticipated, but they were not certain about the actual number of minutes or hours that they were gone. Robert Homan and C.D. Jackson, after the hypnosis sessions that Betty and Barney had in 1964, asked Barney and Betty to participate in contact experiments. They would write a script, and they would give that script to Betty, and she was to repeat over and over again every night for a certain length of time her request for the ETs to come in and show themselves. And the initial part of that experiment asked the ETs to come in to my grandparents' farm in Kingston, New Hampshire. I grew up across the street from my grandparents' farm. And there was some degree of success, it seems, in this happening. We did have some close encounters. I wasn't even aware that this experiment was taking place, but I did have two observations of craft with my aunt and family members. And there was a craft that landed on my grandparents' farm. They observed it, and a commercial pilot who lived up the street from us was returning home from his job, and he also observed this craft landing. There was physical trace evidence left on the ground, and there was an investigation performed over this. After this occurred, some family members began to experience what might possibly have been alien abduction. And we're not certain about this, but certain people have spoken to me confidentially, indicating that they suspect that this might have happened to them as well.
Now, looking over these cases, we see the family connection. Anyone have a theory why some families are more susceptible than others? Are we looking at things like religious, cultural backgrounds, racial backgrounds, things like that?
This appears to happen across the board in every culture, every religion, every socioeconomic background, every educational level, professional job. It doesn't really matter. I don't know what the ETs are looking for unless it's a particular type of tissue. Really don't know, but it does appear to run along family lines.
I have an observation. Have you spoke with Daryl Sims? He seems to think he's come up with some correlated data that suggests the combination of Cherokee and Irish genes has a tendency to make you more, I think there's a higher percentage of people, at least in his findings, that
yes.
reported abduction experiences. Are you familiar with that work?
I know Daryl very well, and I'm fully aware of that correlation that has been drawn, and he's more recently said that he thought that all of that could be traced back to Turkey, that the original point of origin was in that region of the world. There has been other correlation among bloodlines, possibly B or negative Rh negative factors. That was a little bit of what we looked into when Denise and I started our UFO abduction experiencer survey. That was a year-long study, and it involved 50 experiencers and a 25-person control group. And we were not able to really establish a consistent pattern in that particular part. But I do know that other individuals have done this type of study, and they did establish what they thought was a consistent pattern. We did find that 59% of those that participated were type A. But out of 50 experiencers, we had only 29 respondents to that question. Most people didn't even know their blood type, so I can't consider that result to be valid.
The thing I wonder about here, and this is where we'll look at what the skeptics might say, is if ET is coming here and they want to take samples of the populace, why focus on any specific group? Why not a little bit of everything?
I think that they are taking a little bit of everything, as I stated in my answer to the first question.
I believe they are, too. I think that if you take a look at the wider scope and you even go back to biblical times and then you go to other countries who really hadn't spoken of this, they're just coming out and saying, well, we're taken. Well, yes, we have some, too. And so worldwide, well, I would have to say that people are affected all over the world. People are now coming out from, well, if you want to start in, let's say Turkey and England and Scotland and the United States, various countries where a few are becoming brave enough to say, I've been affected by this. I've seen something in the sky. I feel like I've had missing time. I don't know where to go for help. So it's all ethnic groups. It's broad spectrum. I don't think it's just one area.
Chris?
Well, are people reporting the same type of entities in from around the world, or is there some sort of skew or variance between descriptions of these alien types?
Well, Kathleen can speak of what she knows, but I don't have the answer to all of that. A lot of them are the same. As far as what I have seen, we have a few little new ones because they've developed some higher, maybe higher technology or higher spirituality, so that we have some that are different colors that come in as orbs and then pop into entities. Those are new. Kathleen, what do you have?
In the research that I have done, and I'm speaking about my own personal research, speaking to people around the world, the greatest percentage that is reported are the grays. Some people are also reporting an insectoid type that they call the praying mantis type. And I would say that that comes number two, and that they are often seen working with the grays.
I find that very, very intriguing because prior to the 70s, these big-headed gray type reports of seeing entities of this type were almost exclusively a North American phenomenon. And ever since the 80s, we've seen a spread of these types of reports around the world, whereas prior to that, down in South America, oftentimes entities were described as short, hairy dwarves.
We'll get into the look of the UFO entity and a lot more. We have Denise Stoner with Kathleen Martin, author of the Alien Abduction Files. And we'll go into more of what cases they brought forth in that book with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Florian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Your home alarm works after an intruder is inside your home, but real home security begins before intruders enter. Burglaries and home invasions are at an all-time high, and crime is skyrocketing in rural and suburban areas. 85% of break-ins are through a door, and police response is often greater than 20 minutes. You can't afford to wait that long. Stop burglars with police-tested and recommended Easy Armor from Armor Concepts. Easy Armor keeps intruders out. It's barely visible and installs easily. Easy Armor reinforces a door's armor's weak points, comes in three colors, and is guaranteed to stop kick-ins. Get Easy Armor now and get peace of mind. Order by calling 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. Or go to easyarmor.net. Spelled EZARMOR.net. Special offer only available to GCN listeners. Ask about it when you call for your Easy Armor today from Armored Concepts. Ultimate door security made easy.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Kathleen Martin, we have Denise Stoner. Before we progress any further, Kathleen, with regard to what Chris said in the previous segment about the look of UFO entities changing or being different, what's your response?
I would say that he had mentioned the short, hairy dwarfs. Only one individual who participated in our study stated that she had observed this short, hairy dwarf. And if I'm recalling correctly, her heritage was originally in South America. Everybody else was reporting the grays, the insectoids, reptilians, and the Nordic types as well. A very small percentage reported the Nordic types, in fact. And there were a few other variations, tall whites, tall goldens, but this was a very tiny percentage.
But when you get the variations, do you give them equal weight? Do you assume that they are really seeing a different entity, or is everyone just interpreting the entity in accordance with popular culture, for example?
Well, I was doing a statistical analysis here, so I don't give everything equal weight because this was only one report. So say it was only 1 or 2%. My statistical figure, and it was clearly laid out statistically. I don't think that these reports are descriptions of the same entity. Certainly a tall white is not the same as a gray. And I like to give people credit for their observation. And, you know, I have talked to other people since then from around the United States, and others have reported this tall white type as well, or a tall golden type. It's just a very tiny percentage. And, you know, if this group is here, then they are not as active in their experimental program as the grays, who have been here for a very long time.
So you're basically assuming here that when a type of creature is reported, those reports are accurately describing what they see.
Well, I said that I'm giving people credit for that. And it appears that there are probably several types of gray aliens as well, because the descriptions vary slightly. And perhaps we're talking about different races of grays.
What percentage of these cases in your statistical study, what percentage of these cases featured information that was consciously remembered versus some sort of hypnotic regression?
It was a very high percentage. We asked the question, are your abduction recollections conscious? And 88% stated that they were, at least one. And we asked through dreams, 56% had also had dreams. We asked if they were recalled through hypnosis. And only 38% said that they had had hypnosis. And only 16% said that they had memories through other means such as flashbacks.
Now, when it comes to hypnosis, Kathleen, what do the studies show about the accuracy of information retrieved that way? It's been disputed, as you know.
Oh, absolutely. I have studied hypnosis for many, many years, dating back to the early 1990s, and have written a couple of scholarly papers based upon my research. I'm also a certified hypnotist, and something that I have learned and through all of this learning process is that any statement made through under hypnosis is not necessarily accurate. It's very good when we have two people who are hypnotized separately and ask the same questions, and such as in the case of Betty and Barney Hill, and such as in the case of Denise Stoner and her husband, Ed, who had a significant missing time experience in 1982.
Denise, we're going to want to ask about that, too.
Yes.
Okay, so but the point being, Kathleen, is that we're talking here about the fact that most of these experiences are remembered consciously. But then when it comes to missing time, then you're forced to use hypnotic regression to bring memories back, or what?
Yes, if there's no memory there and you're doing an investigation, you think that it's valid, then you might want to use hypnosis individually and to give the suggestion for amnesia. And when you do that, then you are able to determine if the experience actually happened and be able to compare individual statements to determine whether or not the statements are consistent.
Chris, you want to drop in with a comment there?
Yeah. Another thing that I'm interested in, too, is shared experiences. Denise, you mentioned a shared experience of missing time with your husband, and also possibly shared experiences with your sister. Of course, Betty and Barney Hill is quite famous for the fact that the two of them both shared, they didn't share exact details of their experience, but they both remembered having this shared experience.
And they didn't share exact details as well.
Yeah, in other words, but my question is, I guess, how many of these cases in your study and that you're aware of feature more than one person having an experience that then seems to dovetail into some sort of shared experience versus just standalone type cases?
Boy, there's quite a few. We had a percentage. Because we asked, there's more than you would realize. I can try and look that up for you, or Kathleen can, because that was one of the things.
Yes, and I have the figure.
Okay,
do you
have
the figure right here?
Oh,
yes.
Good.
The question we asked was anyone with you when you were taken or visited? And 76% answered in the affirmative.
Wow, that's surprising.
Pretty startling.
That is surprising to me, because I was always under the impression that the vast majority of these types of experiences were standalone for an individual. That's very, very surprising that such a high percentage would feature more than one person. How many do you have any cases that feature a group of people, let's say three or four, five maybe?
Well, I certainly know that John Carpenter's research back in the 80s and 90s, revealed cases of groups of individuals who were taken together. That isn't something that Denise and I asked on our study.
I think Deborah Lindemann may have had some as well.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and we are beginning to take a look at some things such as questioning individuals who have been on a craft and did they recognize somebody on that craft or do they believe that they knew someone else that was on the craft, whether that other individual recalls or has reported that abduction. We're beginning to step into that arena just to see what we can find out, and we've discovered in a couple of instances that this has been the case, that individuals have recognized others on a craft that they know and could point out after the abduction is over with.
The individuals being family members, friends, what?
Friends, people that they know.
Do they go to the friends then and say, were you there?
No, but you can question them. In other words, do you own an outfit like this? Do you own a suit and a tie, or do you own a jogging suit? Do you own this or that? And you can begin to do a little bit of an investigation that way.
I've received reports of individuals who have met other people on board a craft and didn't know who they were. They were strangers. And then outside at a social event, saw these people and spoke to them. And they realized that the two of them had been aboard the same craft.
Wow, that's compelling.
Yes, that's happened too.
That would be difficult to explain with some sort of mundane your typical skeptical debunker explanation of this is sleep paralysis. These are, some sort of hypnagogic state or some sort of nightmare. It'd be difficult to see somebody and not know who they are and then run into them later in waking everyday life and mm-hmm. then encounter them. That's
very
pretty
true.
Compelling.
You yeah. can't tuck that away.
This is something that has to be tucked away. We have Kathleen Martin and Denise Stoner, who wrote a book called The Alien Abduction Files, the most startling cases of human alien contact ever reported. We'll be asking your questions, listeners, as well. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.